Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Today, we're going to look at how to improve our society. And with this, we're still talking about God's will and His Word and what it says about government. But we need to understand a couple concepts here. Number one, there are two primary ways, two big rock ways to improve society. Now, we talked last time about worldviews. One where there's worldviews that believe in God, and particularly in our case, believe in a biblical worldview consistent with the scripture, Bible. Or there is the humanistic view where there is no supernatural element to the world, humanity being either individuals or collectively being at the top of that list of determining right and wrong. You've got those two groups. Now, the thing of it is, and with this, we're not wanting to deal with the exceptions. We're wanting to deal with the majority of things. What is the propensity? Now, obviously, humans are involved in all of them, so there's going to be some bleed over. In other words, the people of God don't always follow the Bible. History is full of that. That's why we have to hold the scripture up as the standard that everybody and every action has to come into alignment with. Now, with this, among those two different ways to improve society, it ultimately comes down to this: liberty or oppression. Now, let me give you again our definition of liberty, the Ray Eppert definition of liberty, the way we're looking at it. Freedom is being unrestrained. Liberty is freedom within a framework. It is not complete unrestrained freedom, but there is freedom that doesn't violate anyone else's liberty. As long as it doesn't violate that, then you have this freedom within a framework. And then obviously, talking about oppression. Oppression is ultimately coercion that either an individual or a government uses coercion or force to create compliance. Now, here's the sad part. Religion, God help us on this one, religion has largely focused on compliance as well. There's a whole lot of that. It's either, if you would, it's either went one of two ways. A gentleman that I respect and admire, he put it this way in a country colloquial expression: it seems as if we get in the ditch on one side of the road or the other. Either the body of Christ is too restrictive and it is a compliance, you've got to comply with the man of God and what he says, or there is no compliance. You just kind of do whatever you want to do. And it seems like we tend to go into one or the two, one or the other of those. You see, God wants liberty. God wants to do it through liberty. Humans, on the other hand, gravitate toward coercion. Look at history. Human beings, because of the sin nature, it's easier to get compliance through coercion or force than it is to get people to comply through giving them freedom. If you would, and see, this is a part of our problem today. This is the selling point of those who wish to take our liberty from us. Coercion and oppression is cleaner than liberty. With liberty, You've got people doing dumb things that they ought to know better, and then you can't do anything about it. On the flip side, you have oppression and coercion. Well, we just shut that down. Not doing that. The problem is liberty goes by the wayside. Freedom goes by the wayside in that. And see, there, if we want to improve society through liberty, there's things we have to do. And as we see this, you will understand what is happening in our culture, because the things that need to be done in order to improve society through liberty have been steadily taken away from our culture, and it's creating a situation where the only thing that seems like it can work is coercion. And at that point, those who want it to be done that way, the plan has succeeded. It has worked. So stay with us through this break, and we'll go further into this.
Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
All right, back to talking about what needs to be in place for society to improve through liberty. You see, our founding fathers understood this. And you have guys like John Adams and James Madison, different ones, Ben Franklin, making a lot of comments. You know, Franklin, he was asked as he came out of Independence Hall, someone asked him, said, what type of government have you given us? He said, a republic if you can keep it. You see, they understood that the form of government that they had established and created for this nation was something that needed certain elements in place for it to last. They knew it wouldn't work. I believe it was John Adams who made the statement that either he or James Madison, both of them actually may have said some form of this, that ultimately, in order for our government to work, it could only work for a religious and a moral people. You see, the problem with our country today is that, if you would, our system of government is inadequate for a group of people who are neither religious nor moral. That's creating problems in our country right now. Now, you see, and I'm not going to get into judging motivations. I don't know people's motivations. But, you know, I can tell you that if you take a baseball bat and swing at a glass lamp, you're going to break the lamp if you hit it. And in this, I'm not going to go into what their motives are, but the bottom line is, when you take faith, religion, prayer out of a society that is built with a government that requires a moral and religious people for it to function correctly, when you take those things out, you have doomed it to failure. Now, did they do that intentionally to doom it to failure? I can't make that call. But I know when we take it out, that's what we're going to have. That's what the founding fathers were saying. This is built to where it's based on liberty. For liberty to function right, you have to have people that have an internal moral compass. If people do not have an internal moral compass, then letting those people have liberty is a problem. It's just a problem. It's, you know, like the inmates are running the prison from that standpoint. If there is no internal moral compass, if there isn't a standard that people are recognizing that, hey, this is what we need to live toward. I need to live toward it. You need to live toward it. We have an understanding of this. See, again, those who push the idea of your own truth are attacking, whether intentionally or not, they are attacking the moral underpinning of our country. We cannot function. Our society cannot function on everyone having their truth, because with that, then there is no internal moral compass to follow. It is not a religious or a moral group of people, and our system is totally inadequate for that, because the only system that is adequate for those who do not have an internal moral compass is coercion. Somebody has to control them. Somebody has to make them do what they need to do. Our system is inadequate. One of the tests for the health of a nation, particularly a nation that would deem itself a free nation, the more laws a nation has to pass or feels it needs to pass, the worse the health of that nation is. The internal moral compass is deteriorating. You know, I can remember when COVID first broke out, and Governor Northam was speaking, and it just shocked me. Because this was something he was bragging about. He was talking about they had just finished a session in Richmond, and that they had passed 3,000 new laws in just a couple weeks. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, we're in terrible shape. I mean, you know, if we've got to pass 3,000 laws, we're working on the wrong thing. Laws don't fix things. Laws do not create compliance. Laws do not make a society better from that standpoint. There's things that have to be done before a law is put in place. And if those things are done, you don't need the law. You just don't need it. But we're working at everything from the end right now, and that's a problem. Well, stay with us through this message, and we'll be right back.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at AugustaSeed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
We're back here in segment three. I want to flip it now. We talked a little bit about what has to be done in a society if liberty is going to be the way that you improve the society. On the flip side, and there's a lot of pieces we did not get into that we'll get into more at a later time. But right now, I'm really wanting to focus on the two options. Because ultimately, again, I've said this so many times already today, we are facing a lot of choices that you can say it's A or B or C or D on those lists. You know, it's kind of like in some restaurants, you know, you can pick from column A or you can pick from column B. And at that point, there's a long list on each side. But ultimately, column A is one thing and column B is another column. And at that point, you're making a choice of which column you're functioning off of. We as a people have to make a choice about whether we're going to improve our society through liberty and do the necessary things. And one thing I'll throw in here is that education must be consistent with Scripture in order to achieve that. If education is not consistent with Scripture, we will never be able to improve our society through liberty. If we don't have that in place, then the only other option is to do it through coercion. And you see, coercion by the state is that other option, that either a monarch, an oligarchy, whatever, that the state, the government, then begins to force compliance. The state begins to mandate and punish lack of compliance. You see, these things, I'll quote the Apostle Peter. He said, the law is for the unlawful. And you see, at this point, there are things, stealing is wrong. I think we all agree with that. Stealing is wrong. Now, there are people that I do know who will disagree with that. You might think everybody would, but there are people that believe that humans are at the top of the list, and they do not believe all stealing is wrong. They have qualifiers because in their particular value system, there are people that should not have what they have. Therefore, to take it away from them is not stealing. It is correcting a wrong. And you, and if you don't believe that, watch TV, watch the news, just walk outside, and you will find there is a growing number of people who do not see any one particular value as a standard that fits. And in that, because of that, when there can be no agreement among the people, then what ends up happening is in a democratic republic, people can want a strong leader. They want a strong central government to make everybody else do what they feel is right. And it doesn't matter if you're on the right or if you're on the left right now, that sentiment is growing. We need a government to make people do this. All of that is a sign that our society, our culture is unhealthy, that we are not pushing toward liberty, we're pushing toward coercion. We're pushing toward a state or federal government that will control everything, and ultimately we will lose our unalienable rights because we're not doing the things necessary to improve the culture through liberty. Again, coercion is a lot cleaner. It's a lot cleaner than liberty. You violate it, we put you away. You violate it, we punish you. It is so clean. It is so justifiable. But what grows out of that seed is oppression. It is oppression that ultimately, because you see, there's always going to be somebody at the top. It's not a matter of whether there will be. There always will be. It's just a matter of who. You see, that's why the founders, when they wrote and said this was to be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. At that point, they were putting the people at the top. We have a republic. We have a representative government. The democracy aspect is we all get to vote. All citizens should get to vote on who those representatives are. That's our democratic republic. In so doing, that creates an investment. But you see, now in our society, it's more, and especially if you listen to a whole lot of government officials, it is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It is the government deciding what is best for all the people. And that accountability that the democracy aspect is involved in the Democratic Republic, that's kind of getting pushed away. And with that, you'll see it. And I'll tell you, I've already seen it limitedly, but you will see people more and more in public office that will say that they shouldn't have to obey certain laws because they know what is best. That's all heading to a bad place. And when you see that, again, be forewarned, liberty is going out the door and oppression is coming in. You cannot build a society off of coercion and have liberty. It's oil and water. They do not mix. But we have so many people in our society that have tried to remove from our society and our culture all the things necessary to have a culture that will improve through liberty, but those things are being taken away. And so the only option that is going to look evident to most people is coercion by the state. That is a problem, and that's why we have to get engaged. Stay with us through this break, and we'll be right back.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Welcome to segment four today. And with this, I want to pull some of these things together, and if you would put the icing on top of the cake. We're talking about there's ultimately two options to improve society. You either do it through liberty, and there's a support system that has to be there for that to work. The easiest and cleanest system to, if you would, in a sense, improve society is coercion, or you could call it oppression. Liberty or oppression, those are the two options. Now, with this, to go a little bit further in what is necessary in a society to improve it through liberty, our founding fathers understood this. That's why they started off the Declaration of Independence with, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are given certain unalienable rights. You see, those unalienable rights are a foundation to a society to improve by liberty. Now, with that, there has to be an educational process. When the society no longer sees these truths as self-evident, then they do not see the rights as unalienable. They do not see the rights as being given by a creator. They see these rights as an option of the government. They can give it, they can take it away. It's really up to them. Unalienable rights. You see, there's a key phrase there that where he says, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He says, among these. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was not an exhaustive list of the unalienable rights that they believed in, that they felt that Scripture gave us. Now, if you want to know where the rest of those unalienable rights are contained, go to the Bill of Rights. That's what it's all about. That's why the First Amendment starts off, Congress shall pass no law. In other words, these things listed in these first 10 amendments to the Constitution are unalienable rights. No law is to violate these. No law is supposed to remove them or anything like that. It was not put within the jurisdiction of Congress or the Supreme Court to violate that. And if you look at those things listed there in the Bill of Rights, you will see that all of those things are basically talking about what the government cannot do in relationship to you. It cannot violate your free speech. It cannot violate your freedom of worship. Now, they're doing it because we've let them do it. And they're doing it through the establishment of religion. There's actually two parts there. They shall pass no law establishing religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You see, you know, you can't, you're not keeping the Bill of Rights, you're not keeping that First Amendment if you only make sure you don't establish, but you do not allow the free exercise thereof. I remember when I was in school, I was in high school, and there were a number of people, when I was at lunch, they would sit down and we would discuss the Bible. Well, eventually, I don't know how it got to this, but an assistant principal came to me and told me I couldn't have this meeting. I couldn't be having a Bible study in lunch. And I didn't know some of the things that I knew now, but I did understand I had liberty and I could have the free exercise of my faith. So I told her, well, then get me another room and I'll do it there. She kind of looked at me a little surprised. A couple weeks later, she comes back and she says, well, in order for you to do it in another room, then we would have to have a sponsor. And I can't find a sponsor to be in there with you. No one wants to give up their lunch break. And I just told her, I said, well, then fine. I'll just keep doing it in the cafeteria. And that was the end of the discussion. You see, there are so many things that we are being intimidated into complying with that the law will support us, and any judge that is trying to comply with the law of the land would support it. We've got to realize that, again, that Bill of Rights was a limitation of the government and what they cannot do in regards to your individual rights. No unlawful search and seizure. In other words, they have to have a reason to come through your door. And if they don't have a warrant and you don't invite them in, then they can't come in. Why? Because that's your house. And the federal government or the state government, even the county government, doesn't have jurisdiction over your home. You have it. They have to have just cause to come in. And if that happens and you go to court, unless it's a kangaroo court, for lack of a better phrase, and if they find out that they came in without a warrant and did it, that case will be thrown out. Why? Because they violated your jurisdiction. Because your jurisdiction over your home exceeds the federal, state, and local governments. We need to understand, see, that is a biblical concept. We need to understand these things. And again, I would encourage you, continue to study. Share this with other people. Share our podcast. Also, get involved in the local level. Begin to engage. Begin to cause God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And pray about whether or not you ought to be engaged and run for office. Not everybody should. But the bottom line is, if we stay out of it, if the light doesn't enter the realm, then the only thing there is darkness. See you next week.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.